You're listening to SpursCast, episode 533. My name is Paul Garcia, and I am the host of SpursCast. I will be going solo for this episode, 533, due to a few scheduling errors, and it was a little tough to during the part of the week to get some guests aligned. So I'll go ahead and go solo. It shouldn't be too long of an episode, but just bear with me as I go through SpursCast, episode 533. So before I begin this episode, I do want to continue to promote this event that we're putting together. I'm really excited for this. This Sunday, if you're in the San Antonio area, so that's, you know, if you can make the drive down from Austin or from Corpus, somewhere around, you know, just the local area, San Antonio cities, we're holding our SpursCast live event this Sunday, March 24th at the Guadalupe Cultural Arts Center, the Guadalupe Theaters to be specific. I'm going to be joined by special co-host Anthony A. of Energy 94.1. Special guest also, actor Jesse Borrego and New York Times bestselling author Shea Serrano. Again, that's this Sunday, March 24th from 5 to 7 p.m. If you stay after the podcast, after we record, we're actually going to be showing the Spurs-Celtics game that Sunday evening, which I'm going to break down a little bit later here. Okay, so I have about just three main topics before I get to previewing the upcoming games for the Spurs. Let's first begin by recapping the last three games. So the Spurs are still on a winning streak. They have not lost a game since the last time I recorded. Their last three wins came against the New York Knicks at home, Portland at home, and then also the Warriors at home Monday evening in the AT&T Center. So, you know, the Spurs just continue to roll. So let's go ahead and get into these games in a little bit more detail. So on Friday night, the Spurs returned to the AT&T Center. They beat the Knicks pretty badly, 109-83. This was more of a revenge-type game for the Spurs. You know, they obviously, me and Colin talked about this last week, how they got embarrassed the last time they were in New York because the Knicks hadn't won a game in quite a while. And then, of course, the Spurs lost that night, and they made the Oscars. You know, everybody was talking about them just nationally, you know, because basically they were like a joke because they lost to one of the worst teams that's purposely tanking trying to get Zion Williamson, which are the Knicks. So the Spurs came back with a little bit of revenge there. They led by as many as 28. One key significant stat from that game was that Jakob Poeltl had 5 blocks. Then on Saturday, on the second night of a back-to-back, the Spurs hosted the Portland Trailblazers. The Spurs won this game 108-103. It's a little, you know, this one was a little bit different because it was, even though the Spurs did get a double-digit lead, Portland came back, you know, and both teams kind of exchanged the lead back and forth. A significant injury was that the Blazers lost C.J. McCollum with 7:03 left in the third quarter. So McCollum went out of the game, and he's going to miss some time now for the Blazers. So the Spurs were able to hold off Portland that night. Again, Poeltl had 5 blocks, so it was back-to-back nights of him tying in one of his career-high stats in blocks. Then on Monday, the Spurs defeated the Golden State Warriors 111-105. They led by as many as 14, but of course the Warriors are the Warriors, so they made a little bit of a comeback. They kept distance with the Spurs, but in crunch time, it was DeMar DeRozan who scored 6 points in the last 5 minutes, and then Davis Bertans who hit a big three, so that the Spurs were able to hold off a Warriors comeback from Golden State. Now, Golden State was missing two of their key guys, which were Andre Iguodala and DeMarcus Cousins, but the Spurs, like I said, they keep on winning, and this is basically topic number two, which is kind of just expanding on this win streak that the Spurs are on. So they've now won 9 games in a row, and that matches the Houston Rockets, who also had a 9-game winning streak at one time this year. According to Jordan Howenstein, the Spurs PR guy, the Spurs have the longest winning streak this season by any team aside from the Warriors. At one point this year, the Warriors won 11 in a row. So basically, the Spurs and Rockets are tied for second for the most wins, longest winning streaks for this season with 9 in a row for the Spurs right now. So obviously, if the Spurs win their next game against Miami on Wednesday, it'll be a second best now to the Warriors with 10 in a row if they are able to pull that off. Just some notes from this winning streak. In all 9 games for the Spurs that they've played in these games, they've led by double digits in all 9. So you've seen them, you know, continue to be getting those comfortable leads early. It's really tough for them to sustain them in some of these games. You know, if you look at the numbers, what they say, it says that even though they're winning 9 in a row games, 6 of those games have gone down to crunch time. So again, even though they're kind of building some decent leads, teams are able to make that comeback against the Spurs. And a lot of that does go back to, even though the Spurs are playing really good defense, it's just their offense. You know, if you're just exchanging twos for threes, eventually, you know, those other teams are going to be able to stay within games with you. And that's what it's showing right now at San Antonio, why they just can't put these most of these teams away when they do go up a lot. But however, the Spurs are, you know, 6-0 in crunch time right now during this win streak. So just some notes that I wanted to just discuss. They are third on defense, so they are winning these games with their defense during this win streak. And they're sixth on offense. So the offense is still staying basically where it's been at all year. That's continued to be a top 10 offense. So some of the defensive notes, you know, last week me and Colin got into the numbers. They really haven't changed a lot. I wrote a big piece on Monday that came out called the Spurs, the 2018-19 Evaluation, Volume 7. And in there, I did some color-coded stats that really show how much this defense has just transformed. And it's kind of the same philosophy that I've been talking about ever since that Brooklyn game, is that obviously, you know, the three key parts there are Derek White out of the perimeter, so he's stopping the point of attack from players penetrating, getting past the first line of defense out on the perimeter. Then when they do get past the guards, then you got two really good rim protectors right now, guys that are really making other players take tough shots, which are LaMarcus Aldridge and Jakob Poeltl. So just by having two big guys, you know, over 6'10 each, that's just really allowing the Spurs to really take away what I call the easy points, which is points of the paint and also free throw attempts. So they're doing a great job, LaMarcus and Jakob, of not putting players on the free throw line, of making them take those long twos, those mid-range shots, those short mid-range. And what's happening is it's kind of like a gamble, kind of what I mentioned last week, and also I mentioned in my piece. It's like the Spurs are giving up a lot of above the break threes. So those threes that you see teams take off the pick and roll or over off the above the break three, those threes right now, the Spurs are winning that battle because even though they're giving a bunch up, they're actually 29th right now that I just checked, those teams are not making those at a great clip. So, and you saw that with the Warriors game where Klay missed a bunch of above the break threes. You saw Curry miss a few as well. So right now that Draymond Green as well comes to mind, that kind of is the shot that the Spurs are willing to give up, and it's working in their favor right now. But like I said, if a team can get hot, they can stay in a game with the Spurs and push them to crunch time. And that's what we've seen kind of in six of these nine games during the win streak. And obviously they may meet an opponent who's going to make more threes. They're going to have a really hot night. And that type of defense of giving up the above the break three is not going to pay off for San Antonio. So we'll see if that's the outcome that happens. Specifically, I'm looking at Houston. That's going to be a big game for them if how they're going to approach that defensively. Because right now it's working. I mean, they're just basically taking away all the easy points, and they're letting teams have those above the break threes. Very similar to, like I've mentioned, to the Milwaukee Bucks, and it is working for San Antonio. Offensively, some notes that I noted was that stylistically, should I say, but stylistically, they're kind of doing the same thing again on offense. They're really taking advantage of the mid-range shots. They're not attacking the rim as much. They're not attacking the three as much, shooting a bunch of threes at a high volume, which has been their offensive system all year, and it's kept them very efficient. Because why? They take very efficient shots. You know, the shots that they do take from the mid-range, those all their guys are really good, accurate mid-range shooters. LaMarcus, DeMar DeRozan, Rudy Gay, even Derek White's turning into a really good shooter. And then when they do give their three-point shooters shots, those guys are really good three-point shooters. So it may not be a huge volume of threes, but they have really good sound three-point shooters in Marco Bellinelli. You got Bryn Forbes out there. They have Davis Bertans as well. And the other part of it is just the fact that they don't turn the ball over. You know, they don't beat themselves, and this is really helping them keep pace, even though they play at a slower pace, keeping an efficient offense on the court night to night, and that keeps them at a top 10 level. Something I noted in my piece on Monday was that, you know, it's really weird to see a Coach Pop team, especially after the team we saw in the finals back in 2014, who was just known for that beautiful ball movement, to now be 27th in passes per game. So as I looked up that stat on Monday, they were 27th in passes per game. And again, it comes back to who, you know, Pop's taking advantage of who are their core offensive players. Who are the guys that are going to get shots for them? Well, they're guys that are not known for, you know, it's just that they're the types of players where their strength are not known for moving the ball a lot. It's more so the ISO type game. So you got, like I mentioned, you got LaMarcus, a guy who plays out in the post or runs pick and pop. You got DeMar DeRozan, a guy who does a little bit better, you know, more so in one-on-one than rather than spot up shots. You got Rudy Gay, who's a good post up scorer, can also isolate on his own. And then now a guy who's turning into a really good playmaker for the Spurs is Derek White, who can do both, you know, run out of pick and roll if he needs to. We've seen him take some one-on-one shots, and he's made a few of those now with the guys, you know, right there next to him. He's made some of those shots. So that's kind of why the passing numbers aren't quite where they used to be back in the past with the Spurs. It's just because Pop has built this offense around its strengths, which is their players, their go-to players. But those four players are more so ball dominant players, each of them. And the Spurs are finding a good mix to getting each of those guys, you know, their possessions to run the offense, to get their types of shots up, to create for others. And so you see that right now. So during the nine game win streak, LaMarcus Aldridge is averaging 23.9 points and 1.8 assists. You got DeRozan averaging 21.6 points and 6.6 assists. Rudy Gay's averaging 13.4 points and 3 assists. And then you got Derek White averaging 12.9 points, but then also 5.4 assists. So one thing that I'm really interested to see when the playoffs do come, should the Spurs make it, which it looks like they are going to, just based on where they're at right now, is I really want to see, you know, how does having four guys who can kind of create on their own or for others, how does it work out in the playoffs? Because that's kind of what's kind of been missing for the Spurs, you know, obviously aside from the defense. But over the last 2 years, like the year that they lost to the Warriors, and I think it was 16 when Kawhi got hurt with the ankle injury, at that time it seemed like San Antonio didn't have enough playmaking around LaMarcus and Kawhi. It was just those two guys who could kind of create on their own, and that was kind of it. And then obviously the next year Kawhi didn't play in that series, but again, even last year's team, it was just came down to kind of just Rudy Gay and LaMarcus, you know, what could they both create on their own. So this year, as they go into the playoffs, you know, regardless of who the opponent is, they're gonna have four guys that when it comes down to crunch time, Pop has different ways to attack a defense, and it's not so easy to you know, to just have, you know, they don't just have to rely on DeMar to create for the whole team. They don't just have to rely on LaMarcus anymore. Now they have Rudy there if they need that option. They have Derek White, who can kind of give you really sound pick and roll playmaking ability. So I really feel like right now, because of you know, having a less ball movement type of system right now, that's actually built a little bit better for the playoffs, just because the fact that they're going to have four different options where it's going to be tough for a defense to just zone in on one player. Like, you know, you think of like Houston, they just have James Harden and Chris Paul, who are their two creators. And so you can kind of zone in and try to figure out your defensive scheme to just hone in on those two players. Whereas with the Spurs, sure, LaMarcus and DeMar are going to be their two go-to guys. However, they still have Rudy Gay that they can run a few possessions through. They still have Derek White there, who they can also run possessions through. So I'm really interested to see if the Spurs can play this type of elite defense during the playoffs, you know, how far they can go with that, with the really good, I would say, offensive type system that's built for the playoffs when you know, pace gets slower, when it comes down to possession by possession basketball, the fact that you have four different guys that you can go to if you're San Antonio down in crunch time. So that's something to watch as the playoffs do approach within the coming month later on. For the third topic, I want to go into just talk a little bit about playoff positioning and where the Spurs stand right now in the standings and kind of, you know, how far they can move up or fall back. You know, as of Tuesday evening that I'm recording this, they're currently in fifth out west. I mean, I put this on Twitter. The fact that at one point, San Antonio and Houston each spent time at 14th in the west. I mean, they were both 14th at one point in the season. And now you got the Rockets in third and you have the Spurs in fifth. So that's just, you know, that just speaks to both their teams that they didn't give up on their seasons, even when it was when they were both struggling. And they've put together really good runs and it's worked out for both teams, you know, that they've been able to get both the right now top five seeds out west. So for the Spurs, where they stand right now, they're 1.5 games behind Portland for fourth. And so that means that, you know, they're right there on the cusp of getting a round one home court advantage if they can take that 4 seed from Portland. And you got to remember that Portland's going to have a difficult time to end the season because of the McCollum injury. You know, according to the latest, I check RotoWorld, which is just basically updates on player injuries. They say that, you know, according to Woj in his last reporting, that CJ should be getting reevaluated within a week. So he's obviously going to be out a week for sure, you know, with that knee injury. But then also Damian Lillard, even though he's not a doctor on the team or he's not the official team personnel, he's basically saying that they may be without CJ for the rest of the season, and they may get him back in round one of the playoffs. That might be the soonest, because Dame basically wants him to be as healthy as possible. He says that in his quote, he said that basically if CJ needs the rest time, he can basically take off, you know, recover during the rest of the season with less than 15 games, and then Dame wants him ready for the playoffs round one so that they have their team at full strength. So again, that could see Portland starting to slip a little bit in the standings, and so there's room there for the Spurs to try to take that 4 seed from them, you know, if they keep playing good basketball. Even the 3rd seed's not out of the question. You know, the Spurs are only 2.5 games back from the Rockets, And that game Friday night is pivotal because this is going to be a game that if San Antonio wins it, they can tie Houston in their head to head, which would be a 2-2. If they lose it, well then Houston wins the series 3-1 this year. And obviously, if both teams finish with a tied record, Houston's going to get that in the end for a better seed. So again, even the third seed's not out of the question, having home court in round one. Then you look at what could happen if the Spurs start losing some games. Well, if they start losing, well, then they're only a half game ahead of Utah. Utah is currently in seventh, and Utah actually owns the tiebreaker against the Spurs. And the Jazz do have I should just say it. They have the easiest schedule to end out west among all the playoff teams. They have the easiest schedule for the rest of the year. The Clippers, the Spurs only one game back from them, who are in eighth, and the Clippers and Spurs have a 2-2 series tied records. They each tied each other with 2-2, so... So again, if the Spurs keep winning, there's a really good chance they can move all the way up to fourth or third. But if they started losing, you know, even though they've looked great, 9 in a row, should I say, they're just not that far away from the Clippers or the Jazz, where they can still fall back down to seventh or eighth if things start slipping badly for San Antonio. Now, as far as making the playoffs, they're getting closer, you know, game by game. They're now seven games ahead of Sacramento, who's in ninth, and it looks like, you know, the Kings are just really struggling right now. They're 3-7 in their last 10. According to playoffstatus.com, a website that kind of looks at the Spurs' magic number for making the playoffs, right now they need 6 wins just to at least make the playoffs to get that eight seed just for right now. But again, that number could get lowered if the Clippers start dropping games, or the Jazz start dropping games, or even the Kings specifically, they start dropping a bunch of games. Well, then it makes it easier for the Spurs to secure a playoff seed, even though it looks like they will do that. Okay, for the last part of the Spurs cast, I'm going to go ahead and preview a bunch of games, and this is more than I usually do. And the reason why is because, as I've told y'all, I'm going to be hosting the Spurs cast live episode 5:34 this Sunday. So really, there'll be a podcast going up on Wednesday this week, but then also on Sunday. So it's going to be almost like you know, two podcasts in almost a week and a half span. So that they'll be basically on the episode list, should I say. So again, I'm going to go through a bunch of games here. I'm going to go through the next 6 Spurs games. That will take me all the way to the end of March, and then I'll be back with Spurs Cast episode 535 right in the beginning of April. So these next 6 games, I know it's going to be a lot of information. Just bear with me as you know, this will cover previewing the Spurs' opponents up until you know, early April. So right now, my Spurs Cast record, I'm 43-23. I got it wrong that game against the Warriors. Me and Colin both picked against the Spurs there, and they proved us wrong, and the Warriors did lose. So 43-23 is my overall record. At home, the Spurs are 29-7 on their offense is 7th, defense 11th. On the road, the Spurs are 13-22, offense 6th, defense 27th. So obviously, there's a huge difference there between how they play defense on the road compared to at home. And one thing to note, though, is that during the win streak, they're actually playing good defense on the road, too, even though it's a small sample size. Okay, so let's first begin Wednesday, the day that this Spurs cast comes out. The Spurs host the Miami Heat. The Heat on the road are 17-16. They're actually a better road team than home team. Their offense is 23rd ranked. Their defense is 3rd ranked on the road, so they're actually really good. The Heat are actually playing very good basketball right now, 7-3 in their last 10. However, as good as Miami's playing, I still think the Spurs are playing better right now, and I'm going to take San Antonio in this game, so I'm going to take the Spurs over Miami on Wednesday. On Friday, this is a really tough matchup for me to predict. The Spurs go to Houston, so they're in Houston. Houston is 26-10 at home. They're 4th on offense in their own building and 25th on defense. The Rockets are just almost, you know, they're not 9 in a row, but they're almost just as hot if you look at the last 10 game statistic as the Spurs. Both teams are 9-1 in their last 10 games as I record this episode. So I'm actually going to take the home team here just because, you know, as much as I saw the Spurs defense play well in Atlanta and I think it was at Dallas, I still don't trust it entirely just yet. So I'm going to take Houston in this game. I'm very, very eager to see how Derek White guards James Harden or even if it's Chris Paul. Just kind of, this is a different Derek White we're seeing right now. The confidence level for him, his composure on defense, just everything that he does out on the perimeter is just really excelling game by game. And we've seen him have really good defensive games against Luka Doncic, against Russell Westbrook, against you know, a lot of different players right now. Even against before he got in foul trouble with Damian Lillard, he was doing pretty good in the first half there before, you know, he got in foul trouble with White. So I'm really eager to see if Pop puts White on on James Harden and how White fares against him. So, but I'm still going to take Houston in this game. Then on Sunday, the day that we're holding the Spurs cast live, the Spurs are going to go to Boston and play the Celtics. The Celtics at home are 26-11. They're 10th on offense and 6th on defense. This one was really tough for me, you know, just because of the fact that the Spurs are playing well. Now, I know their overall numbers on the road aren't very good, but I'm going to go ahead and give the Spurs the benefit of the doubt here, and I'm going to say that they lose to Houston, they get things together, and then they go out and win in Boston the next on Sunday night, should I say. So I'm going to go ahead and take San Antonio in this one. The Celtics, by the way, are 6-4 in their last 10. Then on Tuesday, the Spurs go to Charlotte, so they see Tony Parker for a second time this year. The Hornets are 21-14 at home, pretty good home team. They're 12th on offense at home and 17th on defense. However, they're 3-7 in their last 10, so they're really struggling right now. Is Charlotte? I'm going to take San Antonio in this game. I feel like at least, you know, even though their defense is, it's improved. I think it's improved enough to where they can win a game in Charlotte on the road. Then on Thursday, it's Manu Ginobili night. That's the night that the Spurs are going to retire Manu Ginobili's jersey after the game. They're hosting the Cleveland Cavaliers for the first time this year. The Cavs are really bad on the road. They're 6-29. Their offense is 24th on the road. Defense is dead last, 30th. I'm going to take the Spurs in this game. You know, I think that the energy, the excitement for Manu's you know, jersey retirement later on that evening is really going to fuel just the environment of the arena. I think it's going to be a really good crowd environment. Not as ruthless as it was in that Toronto game where the Spurs you know, were just, you know, booing Kawhi Leonard the whole night, but more so like just like a positive type of energy. But that's still going to be more, you know, you're just going to feel the excitement because, you know, the fans are going to be ready. The team's going to be ready to honor Manu that night. So I really feel like that's going to help fuel the actual team on the court. And they should be able to win that Cleveland game pretty easily, even though Cleveland has been playing better at 4-6 in the last 10. Then the following Sunday, the Spurs host the Kings, Sacramento Kings. The Kings are 13-21 on the road, not very good. 14th on the road in offense and 16th in defense. They're not playing well right now, 3-7 in their last 10. This one is a little tricky just because on both the observations and even the stats and everything just show that Sacramento has just had a better matchup against San Antonio for some reason this year. They just played a faster pace. The Spurs just look like they're a step behind when they play the Kings. But so it wouldn't surprise me if the Spurs dropped this game. This almost seems like a trap game. But I'm going to go ahead and take them just because of the fact that they are at home. So I'm going to take San Antonio in that one. So I have the Spurs going 5-1 in their next 6 games. I'll be putting up a Twitter poll. So if you want to put your votes up, I know that I do this weekly with the Spurs cast Twitter polls. So if you want to check that out, you can vote there. So we'll see how the Spurs fare, should I say, in their next 6 games. Some last few reminders before I close out episode 533. Continue checking projectspurs.com. Steven Anderson has his latest pieces up over each Spurs win, you know, the most recent one against the Warriors. Benjamin Bornstein, you know, March Madness is coming, so he's obviously written a bunch of different Spurs prospects to watch, so you can go back through his archives and find some of the guys that he's written about and maybe watch some of their games if they made the big dance. The guy that he wrote about this week, though, is Spurs prospect watch Jalen Horde. He is a 6'8 forward from Wake Forest. So if you want to read Ben's latest prospect watch, it's on Jalen Horde. Like I mentioned earlier, my latest piece is the 2018-19 Spurs Evaluation Volume 7. That's looking at the Spurs on both ends of the court after 70 games. But again, I really feel like that there was a chart in there that I made that where I color-coded, you know, green for being elite and really good at different stats on defense, and then red for being really bad. And you just see the difference right now. I mean, when you look at the overall stats, it's a lot of different red categories. But then you look at these last 9 games, where it was 8 games at that point, just a bunch of green, really elite stuff that the Spurs are doing on defense statistically. So there's a bunch of different numbers there. You know, if you're on iTunes listening to this, thank you, and leave us a rating or review if you can. Again, SpursCast Live this Sunday, March 24th at the Guadalupe Cultural Arts Center, the Guadalupe Theater. With special co-host Anthony A. of Energy 94.1, actor Jesse Borrego as my special guest, and also New York Times best-selling author Shea Serrano will be there as well as one of my special guests for that episode. Between 5 and 7 p.m., we've been blasting this all over social media, so make sure you check it out. There should be a flyer on Project Spurs page, on my page, and different areas as well. Lastly, thank you to Michael DeLeon for mixing and producing this episode. Thank you all for listening. Have a great day.